Friends, I'm a bearer of good news this morning, the greatest news in all the world, that the man by the name of Jesus who died on Good Friday arose from the grave literally, physically on Sunday morning. This is the day. Are you glad about that? And because he lives, he now offers to everybody here and in all of this great big wide world salvation and life everlasting. Wow, do I ever feel privileged to announce that news to you today. Many of you have responded to that gospel. Some of us maybe have not yet done so. You know, this could be the day that you personally open your heart to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You would always remember Easter, wouldn't you? That could be your spiritual birthday today, as you begin that new and eternal life that Jesus offers to everybody here. I'd like you to take the greatest book in all the world called the Bible, and I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I'm so glad that the Gospel of Luke doesn't end with chapter 23, which tells us about the death of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that chapter 24 announces the reality that Jesus literally, physically arose from the dead and is alive today and forevermore. And I'd like to call this message the grand opening. Now, if you've been watching the news, there's been a certain chain store that's been arriving in Canada from the United States. If I were to say the word Target, you'd know what I'm talking about. In the last few weeks, about over 20 stores have been opened, but the official grand opening is this coming Friday. But I want you to know about a greater grand opening than that, and it's what we find here in Luke 24. Not only do we find it here, but we find it in Matthew 28. We find it in Mark chapter 16. We find it in John chapter 20. And here it is in Luke chapter 24. And get thrilled with this good news, friends. Listen to it. Beginning with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what happened. Jesus literally rose from the dead. And a man by the name of Joseph Bailey, who now is with the Lord, has written so many beautiful things, but he wrote what he called Easter Psalm, and this is how he said it. "Let's celebrate Easter with the rite of laughter. Christ died and rose and lives. Laugh like a woman who holds her first baby. Our enemy death will soon be destroyed. Laugh like a man who finds he doesn't have cancer. Or he does, but now there's a cure. Christ opened wide the door of heaven. Laugh like children at Disneyland's gates. This world is owned by God, and He'll return to rule. Laugh like a man who walks away uninjured from a wreck in which his car was totaled. Laugh as if all the people in the world were invited to a picnic, and then invite them. And that's the privilege that we have when we'll be leaving this place, and to go out and just share the good news. Jesus is alive. Oh, what a celebration. And that's what we see here. And this next slide will show you this. I want you to think about, first of all, the opened tomb. This is one of six or seven things that I'd like you to see that are opened here in this chapter. There you'll see a picture of a tomb which is on the north side of the old city walls of Jerusalem. Some of you have visited there, and the group that we lead next October to Israel, and some of you have already indicated you want to go with us, and we're looking forward to that. We will be standing at that very spot, and I will be inviting you to go inside and see that the tomb is empty. And the wonderful news is He is risen. And as you see some more of this slide, the next slide tells us this. Here's a picture of some of the people that have gone with us in the past in that wonderful city where these facts took place. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. And here's another slide I want you to see. Right near that tomb is what is called Golgotha, the Aramaic word for a skull. The Latin word for skull is Calvaria, and that's where we get the name Calvary. Maybe you've heard of churches that have that name, Calvary. That's probably a better way to say it than Skull Baptist Church, but that's what it means. If you look at that, maybe you can kind of see almost, it kind of almost looks like a skull right there. There's the eye sockets and the nose socket right there. And it was General Gordon, as he looked at that many years ago, and he said, boy, that, because the Bible says it was the place of the skull, or the at Golgotha or Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. Could this be the place? And very possibly it was the exact place where Jesus died. And then if you will go take about two stone's throws to the left, you'll come back to this place, the open tomb where Jesus was buried and rose again on the third day. See the next picture. This happens to be one of our granddaughters. Her name is Laura. And as I say to our people when we visit the empty tomb, I say, I'd like you to go inside and see that it's empty. And then when you step out, I'd like to get a picture of you. And I'd like you to be saying these words from Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so I said to our people, I'd like you to say this, because this is what actually happens spiritually to every person who opens his or her heart to Jesus Christ. The moment He becomes your Savior, it's just as though you walked out of the tomb with Jesus. And so Laura, and by the way, Adrian and I hope to see Laura this coming week because of the wonderful anticipation of our having our pastoral candidate here this week. This is an appropriate time for your interim pastor to be absent. And so we are going to take this next week to visit our son Paul and his wife Lydia and their three children out in British Columbia, and also Laura, who graduated from Trinity Western University in nursing and married a school teacher, and the two of them are now parents of our first great-grandchild. So you'll excuse us if we go out to see them this coming week, won't you? But Laura was on this trip with us, and she said those words as she walked out of the tomb, I have been raised with Christ. And I hope you can say that. Everyone here who has received Jesus, would you say that with me? I have been raised with Christ. Praise the Lord. I want you to think about this open tomb. And the reason for that open tomb was not just to let Jesus out. And this next slide, we'll talk about this a little bit more. The open tomb. And not to let Jesus out because he could have get out of there without the stone being rolled away. The reason for the stone being rolled away is so we could come in and see that it's empty. And we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2 that it was an angel that rolled the stone back. And so as a result, the people, his disciples, could come in and see it's empty. I have a friend by the name of Elwood McQuaid. Maybe some of you know him. For years, he was the general director of Friends of Israel Ministry and is still a wonderful preacher of the gospel. But he wrote a poem after reading a message that was preached many years ago by a famous black preacher who lived in down in Virginia. The name of that black preacher was John Jasper. He was born 200 years ago in 1812. He was born as a slave. Later, when freedom came, he became a great preacher. And he was converted at the age of 27, and he preached then for 60 years. But one of the great messages that he loved to preach was about the empty tomb. And here's how he pictured it, that death was standing at that tomb to make sure that Jesus wouldn't get out. And Father Time comes walking by, and they have a little conversation. And so Elwood McQuaid put this into a poetic form. Let's see if we can kind of share it with you. Father Time met pale King Death sitting by a tomb. "Hello, old friend. I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom." "Well, you might say that," sly Death replied. A smile slid up his face. "Inside reposed that Jesus man who said he'd save the race. And you, Time, why you stopping here? Don't you have things to do?" "Well, I come each day to draw the veil and let the morning through." "Say, why are you watching just this one grave with all your vast domain? Looks like you'd be out rambling round and smiting folks with pain." "Well, this one's something special. He challenged me, they say. He said he'd rest here just 3 days, then stir and walk away. Now I'm the conqueror, you know. They don't talk up to me. When I steps in to cut them down, it's for eternity." "I sure can testify to that," responded Father Time. "I ain't seen one shake off the dust since you've been in your prime. Well, I've got other things to do. I must be on my way. I'll see you when I come back again to make another day." So Whiskered Time went up the hill to bid the sun to rise and left Death standing by the tomb, looking strong and wise. Next day, Time ambled by again. "Oh, and how are things?" he queried. "Kind of quiet," Death replied. I'm starting to be wearied. "But I won't be here when you come by about this time tomorrow. I'm anxious to be on my way and spread some grief and sorrow." Now, Father Time was quite surprised when he came back the third day to see Death a-quivering on the ground in frightful agony. His eyes were set, his throat was marked, his clothes in disarray. It wasn't difficult to see that Death had had his day. "What happened, Death?" asked Father Time. "What makes you look so bad? I've never seen you shake this way or seem so scared and sad." Death pulled himself up on a rock, looking sick and humble, hung his head and wrung his hands, and Time could hear him mumble, I was sitting here before the dawn about to take my stroll when all at once this whole wide world began to reel and roll, and that rolling stone jumped off the door and skipped on down the hill, and then everything grew dark and quiet, seemed like the earth stood still, and I saw him standing in the door. He didn't move or speak. He just looked at me, and all at once I felt so tired and weak. And he came and got a hold of me and threw me on the ground and put his foot here on my neck, and then he took my keys and crown. And then two angels came to talk with him, and they glistened like the sun, and he said, "The plan's all finished now. Redemption's work is done." And as they passed the garden gate, I heard him say just then, "He's setting free my captives and giving gifts to men." Time and death met once again off yonder by the gate. "Oh, it's good to see you," said Old Time. "I wondered about your faith." "I'm just a lowly servant now. There's little time to roam. I just push open this old gate and help the saints get home." Well, that's the victory that took place at Calvary. Oh, death, where is your sting? And because Jesus rose again for a believer, death only just opens the gate to let us home to heaven. And I want you to think with me about that wonder of this opened tomb. But there's a second thing I want you to see that opens in this chapter. Not only the open tomb, but the opened scriptures. And will you see that with me as we look now at verse 13 and following? That same Easter Sunday in the afternoon, listen to this. "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him," I smile as I read this, "'Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?' "'What things?' Jesus asked. "'Well, about Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets,'" that's the Old Testament, "'have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses," that's the first 5 books of the Bible, say them with me, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It says, "So beginning with Moses and all the prophets," the rest of the Old Testament, "he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." My dear wife Adrian says, of all the places in times in the Bible, that's her favorite spot. She wishes she'd been on that Emmaus road as well, just hunkering around close there to Jesus as he was teaching the first Sunday school lesson. Sunday school began on Easter. And how blessed is a church that continues to teach the word Yes, Sunday as well as other days of the week. But wouldn't you have been thrilled to have been there listening to Jesus as those men walked along with him and he taught them everything that the Old Testament taught about himself, because there are so many prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled when Jesus came, born as a virgin, born in Bethlehem, and as he suffered and died on the cross as our sacrifice, and even as he rose again. All that was prophesied hundreds of years ago, and Jesus taught it to those men. I'd love to be in a class like that, wouldn't you? He opened the scriptures on that very day that the tomb was opened. And I'm so glad that this church here, Maple Avenue Baptist Church, is committed not only to the gospel of the risen Savior, but to declaring the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. And you are committed to this wonderful book and to its wonderful message, which transforms lives and helps us to become fulfilled in every way that God wants us to be. Now, I want you to see another wonderful fulfillment, and that is opened eyes. Let's continue in our text, looking at verse 28. So as they approached the village, these two disciples, one of them may have been a woman. We're not told for sure. It could have been a married couple. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going to go on farther. But they urged him strongly, "Oh, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he suddenly disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Oh, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And now, not only are the scriptures opened, but their eyes are opened. Do you get the picture? Here's Jesus now sitting at the evening meal. These two disciples have invited him to eat with them. And he now gives a prayer of blessing. Just like 3 days before on that Thursday night, he'd blessed the bread and the cup with his disciples in the upper room. Now here he is on the day of his resurrection doing the same thing. Only as he stretches out his hands, and this is the first time, you wonder, how did they know that it was Jesus? It doesn't say specifically here in the text, but this is my suspicion, that as Jesus broke the bread and handed it to them, they saw the nail prints in his hands or his wrists. And immediately they realized, he is the resurrected Jesus. And I'm so glad that your eyes have been opened to realize that this Savior has truly been raised from the dead. But I'd like you to see yet another, and speaking of the opened eyes, just before we leave that, let me just say this. You know, in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, in the Greek language, there are often several words for just one word that we use. For instance, the word love that we have, there are actually four other words that are used in the Greek language to express different aspects of what love is. The same thing is true for this matter of to see or to look. If you were to turn, and you might like just to turn to this in John chapter 20 for just a moment, where we have another account of two disciples, John and Peter, running to the tomb that Easter morning to see Jesus, or to see is it really empty and open. And if you were to come to John chapter 5, you would see that in verse 5 it says, John stooped down and looked in, and he saw, his eyes were open, he saw the linen clothes lying. The Greek word there is blepo, to see. And he saw it. He saw the literal linen clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in. They're still there, but there's no body there. And then Peter comes on in. In verse 6, it says, Peter went into the sepulcher and he saw the linen clothes lying there. But it's a different Greek word used here when it says saw. The word is, in the Greek, is theoreo. And does that remind you of a word we use? Theory. Theoreo. He saw something and he began to theorize, what does this mean? And he didn't quite figure it all out, but he was developing a theory, an understanding of what this meant. So that's a second way to use the word see or look. Now look at verse 8, and you'll see John says, he now also went into the tomb, and he saw, there's the word again, and it goes on to say, he saw and believed. Now, the word saw there, a different word yet in Greek, horao, which means to see with understanding. Oh, now I see. And that's the kind of seeing that I hope all of us have. All of you who have a Bible in your hands, as I was reading this passage and you had your Bible open, you saw the Scriptures. Blepo. Yeah, I see it. But as I was reading, it's possible that you too, along with the other disciples, saw it in a different sense, theoreo. Oh, I wonder what that really is. What is being said here? But I hope you've taken it to the further step, horao, which means, I see it with understanding. Yes, Jesus literally rose from the dead. He's alive. And so the Lord opened their eyes. Oh, that's a grand opening. Do you remember the day? Some of you who received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, maybe years ago. I remember when I was a boy, and my mother was reading me a Sunday school paper. And somehow, I'd known the story already before about how Jesus died and rose again. But it never really clicked in my heart until that day. And it was because of the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, who teaches each of us the Word of God. And it suddenly hit me, and I saw it with understanding. I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. I need to receive Him as my Savior. And I'll never forget that day when I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. Many of you can remember that as well. And it could be that today, for any of us who do not yet know the Lord, today could be your horao day. The Greek word for to see with understanding and to receive this wonderful Savior. Some years ago, this beautiful chorus was written, and many of you have sung it before. It may be new to you, but I just want you to think about it. And if you know it, just sing it along with me. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. That's a beautiful prayer. Not only eyes open, but ears open as well. Several times Jesus said, he or she who has ears, let them hear. It's possible to sit in a meeting like this, and you're hearing this voice, and maybe you're wishing, I wish he'd turn off. Well, I'm going to in just a few moments. But it's another thing to hear what is really being said, or to see what is written on these pages. And that's what happened to these two disciples. Their eyes were opened, it says in verse 31. And then they realized it was Jesus who opened the Scriptures, and now we've seen Him. Now we really understand He is truly alive. May I take you just a little farther in this chapter? I want you to see yet something else that's open. Not only the open tomb and the open Scriptures and the opened eyes, but the opened understanding. Let me read beginning with verse 33. This is an interesting story. Now, as we come into the evening of that first Easter, the day Jesus rose from the dead, He's now suddenly disappeared from those two disciples there that were in Emmaus, which is about 11 kilometers to the east, to the west of Jerusalem. That's quite a walk. And that's what Jesus walked with them. But now I want you to notice how they come back, running back into the city. So verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11. What does that mean? The 11 disciples. Oh, I thought there were 12 disciples. Yes, there were, but you remember one of them, Judas, betrayed Jesus and then went out and hanged himself. So by this point in history, Judas is dead. But there are 11 of those disciples who are not only alive, but they're together in a group. And listen to this. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And the other Gospels tell us that He came right through, not an open door. The doors and the windows were all locked and closed. He came right through the wall. Why? Because He now has His resurrected, glorified body. Did you know that every one of us who's received Christ as Savior are going to have a body like that? Yeah, you too will be able to go right through a wall if you need be. And forever you're going to have a body like that. And amazing. But notice when He just suddenly appears to them and He says, "Peace." You can imagine how scared they would be. This is the first time they've seen. They've just heard, "He's risen." Really? There He is. Yes, He's alive. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened and thinking they saw a ghost. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet, which of course were nail-driven. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Well, do you have something here to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. And He said to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." And notice verse 45. Then He opened their minds. Here's another thing that's opened, the opened understanding. It says, then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. And He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised," that was the Holy Spirit, "but stay in the city, in Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high." And as many of you remember, the Holy Spirit did come 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus was with his disciples, appearing to them on a number of occasions for 40 days after his resurrection. And then he ascended into heaven, and then 10 days later, as those disciples were doing what Jesus said, meeting, keeping together, praying in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the church was born that day. So, God opens our understanding, and my friends, it is my prayer for each of you that your understanding will be opened to understand this amazing truth of our resurrected Savior. But can I tell you about something else that opened? I call it the opened heavens. Look at verse 50 and 51. When he had led them, now this was 40 days after, when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and that's the Mount of Olives, to the east of Jerusalem, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now what we see here is the opened heavens. While he was blessing them, suddenly the heavens aparted and Jesus was received up back to his heavenly home where he is still today. He's been there for almost 2,000 years. What's he doing there? Well, the Bible teaches us, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I find it interesting that God created the world and the universe in 6 literal days. But Jesus has been taking almost 2,000 years to prepare a home in heaven. For what an amazing place that is, as beautiful as this universe is. And I hope you enjoy nature. And as you move through this springtime, I just hope that everything you see of the emerging greenness and the beauty of the flowers and all will just remind you, Jesus made it all. But if this is so beautiful, just imagine how beautiful heaven must be. He's preparing a home in heaven for us. That's one of the things he's doing. Another thing he's doing right now is he is praying for us. He is interceding for us. He's praying for you. He knows what challenges you may be going through right now. He's praying for you. And he has victory for you, no matter what the circumstance that you may face in your life. I've got good news for you. Jesus is able to give you answers that will please him and will bless you as we are willing to receive it. The opened heavens. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 tells about a day when Jesus will return again and his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives just east of Jerusalem, the same place where he ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. I hope you're ready for that. And what an exciting future awaits every one of us who has received Christ as Savior. Well, I want you to see one other thing here. The opened mouths. Did you see that in verse 52 and 53? Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. They were also in the upper room, we read in Acts chapter 1, but they also every day went to the temple to praise the Lord. And may I say to you, these were opened mouths. If the Holy Spirit has brought new life into your life because you've received Jesus as Savior, if it's really true in your life, you're not going to be quiet about it. You're going to be sharing the good news. And people around you are going to know that the resurrected Savior has made a difference in your life by the way you live and by what you say. Somebody said, what you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They're judging by your actions every day, and that's true. But that should not say then, well, I'm afraid to say anything because maybe my life isn't backing up what I believe. Let's make sure that we're living a consistent, Christ-honoring life, and let's also speak with our mouths. Let's give praise to God, and let's share the gospel with the world. In praise and proclamation. That's what Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended to heaven. He said, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the world. That's God's intention. I'm so glad that here at Maple Avenue, we have a commitment to sharing the gospel with the whole world. Thank God for the missionaries that we pray for and that we support, for our mission team that just a month from now will be on location in Brazil. God bless all of you who are part of that. But thank God for all the missionaries that we have right here at home, which will be witnessing in school this week and at the place where we work and in our community and as we go shopping. Lord, help all of us to declare with the joy of the Lord the new life that He has given to every one of us. Well, as we wrap up, I want you to think with me about one more thing here. And you'll notice on your notes, we will miss the glories of Easter's grand opening unless we open our hearts to the risen Savior. Do you see this next slide, please? And what I want to say here is this. If you have come to Christ, then give testimony to that in believer's baptism. On several of our trips, we have had the privilege of baptizing people at the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And on this occasion, a number of our people had asked if they could follow the Lord in believer's baptism there. And take the next slide. Here's a teenage fella with his dad. I asked his dad to step in with me as this young fellow wanted to be baptized. And his dad is a doctor, medical doctor up at Timmins. And I watched his dad grow up at our church in Kitchener. And now to see his son wanting to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It could be there are young people here who have come to Christ. And you realize my next step to declare and to open my life as a witness is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Let's take the next slide. Here's a couple that came with us on our trip. They live in the eastern part of Toronto, Scarborough area. And they, for many years, they'd been raised in Hong Kong. And their religion was Buddhist. They were Buddhists. But they'd recently come to know Jesus as their Savior. And they came with us on this particular trip. And they asked if they could follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So what a joy it was to baptize them both together. Let's take the next slide as they go down into the water and all the way. And then the next slide. And they come up totally soaked but rejoicing that they'd given testimony to the fact that they had received Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Let's take the next slide. What I want you to see is not only the open tomb and the open scriptures and the opened eyes and the open understanding and the open heavens and the open mouths, but here's one other thing you can write down, the opened heart, which isn't found in this particular scripture directly, but from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's take the next picture. You know, we will miss the glories of Christ's resurrection unless we open our hearts to the risen Savior. And another click will show this. I'd like you to say this Bible verse with me from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And maybe you have sensed in your life Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Here's a picture that's a very famous picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And The Lord is knocking on your door this morning. It could be that several of us here this morning are sensing, Jesus is knocking on the door of my heart. He wants to come in. Would you take the next slide, please? Maybe you've memorized this little song. Some of you sang that many years ago. But I'd like you to invite all of you to sing it with me today, and especially those of us who have never received Jesus before, but on this Easter Sunday you say, my eyes have been opened, my understanding is opened, and I want to open my heart and my life to the resurrected Savior who walked out of that tomb. And you could put it into a prayer, into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and then come in to stay forever and ever. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. This is a prayer that you could pray, and I invite you to sing it with me now. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you've made that your heart prayer, I wish you'd tell somebody before you leave this place today. I'll be out there in the narthex, but tell somebody. If you come tell me, I'd love to hear that good news. It'd be wonderful to share with you the joy that on Resurrection Sunday, you too were raised from the dead spiritually, and you've received the new life of Jesus Christ, and you're now beginning that everlasting life that He gives to you in the victory that only He can give. God bless you. And worship team, come and lead us as we climax our service today.